WPR reporter Terry Bell recently spent some time learning about the relationship between music and memory and how iPod therapy is being used to connect the two.
You may have seen the viral video from a couple of years ago. An elderly man, his name is Henry, sits distant and unresponsive in a wheelchair. He has Alzheimer's disease and can barely answer the simplest questions.
Hi, Papa.
Huh?
How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm fine.
Who am I?
That is until a nurse gives him an iPod and a pair of headphones and turns on his favorite music. He suddenly comes to life. His hands and feet sway, his head bobs, and for a fleeting moment, he's the man he used to be.
Do you like music?
Yeah, I'm crazy about music. And you play beautiful music.
What was your favorite music when you were young?
Cab Calloway was my number one band guy. I like it.
We were intrigued and wanted to find out more about the link between music and memory. Our search took us to the Oak Ridge Long-Term Care Facility in Osseo. That's where Angela Bulger is the Assistant Administrator of Senior Services. She says the music we love when we're young, music therapists say, from age 16 to 24, strikes a chord deep within us that lasts our entire lives.
Music is one of the last things that goes. They can always relate to that. So even if they can't remember the words to the song, they can still remember the beat and the melody of it. And it brings the individual back out.
There are about 29,000 people living in nursing homes in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services says a little more than half of them have Alzheimer's, dementia, or some other kind of memory loss. Ramona Krause is one of them. She injured her spinal cord in a car accident decades ago. She admits she has trouble remembering sometimes, but when she puts on her iPod, she seeks out her favorite artists.
Oh, Don Ho, Cooey Lee. Cooey Lee had a good one. I'll remember you.
Long after this endless summer is gone.
And suddenly she's back in Hawaii, where she worked as an X-ray technician at the American Naval Base at Pearl Harbor and waitress at the Enlisted Men's Club part-time.
And they were just huge clubs, you know, like 2 to 3 football fields. And so, you know, that brought back the pain of working there, but the memory of what was going on at that time.
The National Music and Memory Project is embraced by the Mayo Health System and the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, among others, but it's a fairly new initiative, and while the short-term results are compelling, any long-term benefits for people with memory loss is still a bit of a mystery. Licensed music therapists like Brenna Beecroft of Milwaukee say they want to wait and see, but they already know music has proven powers over our minds.
In commercials, in the store, it affects our behavior and we don't even realize it. We use music to make ourselves feel better. So in that regard, it's absolutely going to be beneficial.
Beneficial in that music and memory may reduce reliance on medications, reduce agitation, and make residents calmer and more social and just plain happy. If you have an old iPod, the Mayo Health System will take it off your hands and give it to someone with memory loss to help make their lives a little more musical and a little bit better.
Thanks, Terry, and thanks to the Music and Memory Project Foundation for some of the audio in that piece.
iPod therapy is just one example of music therapy in action, and here to tell us more about how else music is being used to soothe and heal is Brenna Beecroft. She's a music therapist and the public relations chair for the Wisconsin Chapter for Music Therapy. Brenna, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, Brenna, what do you think it is, having worked closely with this kind of therapy, what do you think it is about music that can have this healing power with us?
Well, music connects us to former memories and specific life events. It also can alter brain chemistry, specifically, you know, the feel-good hormones, endorphins that you get, you know, like the runner's high, but a music high. It affects the body physically in decreasing tension. So it's a system-wide response. It's not just that music makes us happy, it's that it affects us from our brain all the way throughout the entire body.
I'm hoping you can give us some background on music therapy. When did we start to see this take hold, that music could be so helpful in the healing process?
Therapeutically, music has been used since people began to sing, really. Shamans, bards, there's a whole history of using music to connect people and to heal people. But it really began to be called music therapy around or just after World War II, when some of the veterans that were coming back to the United States were responding really well to music in the hospitals, specifically for post-traumatic stress syndrome, for pain management, to help ease anxiety, to help reintegrate them socially into communities. And so they started developing university programs to train people, to give them the background, to give them the skills necessary to go in and be able to process some of the emotional responses to music and to start and understand the physical and physiological responses that we can use or we can manipulate music to specifically get in a predetermined sort of way, not a coincidence, but going in and making these results happen.
Now, we've heard about how music is being used to help people with memory loss, but it does go beyond that. Can you talk about some of the other ways that music can be used to treat different things?
Absolutely. Music can be used on the whole spectrum of life, from infants in intensive care units to help them regulate their heart rates, their respiration rates, to help them intake more nutrition so that they can be released either to go home or out of the intensive care unit faster. Even children in school settings, music therapy can be used to help them learn and practice academic skills, coping skills, social skills. Moving to adults with disabilities, it can help them to learn leisure activities in an adapted manner. So music therapists can help adults that may have a physical or cognitive limitation be able to play an instrument and do it successfully because we're able to alter either the instrument or the way we teach. And music can go even to the end of the lifespan, at the very last moments of life, and giving people a peaceful and comfortable passing, making sure that they're pain-free, that they are connected with their loved ones in the last moments, and that may be more towards benefiting the loved ones around the person who's passing. But music can absolutely be used at any point in the life. It's really something for all ages and all abilities.
How widespread is this here in Wisconsin and in our healthcare facilities?
The last time I looked, there were approximately 150 music therapists practicing in Wisconsin, which means that they have a board certification. They passed the national exam. They completed the four-year university program. I know a lot of music therapists work in activities or life enrichment departments in skilled care or nursing homes. Some work in hospitals. Some work in mental health facilities. Some work in school settings. Others work in private practice. It's becoming very, very common to see music therapists, although it's more common in some of the bigger urban areas, Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, Fond du Lac, a little bit in Eau Claire. But you will find music therapists even in some of the more rural or remote areas as well.
Now you mentioned that it could actually be used to treat pain. How is that possible? How can music treat pain?
This is one of the most important aspects of my personal work in music therapy. Music therapy can work in a few different ways to help manage pain. One, we understand that at the base of the brain, there is essentially a gate, a door, if you will, that is the point at which the brain recognizes or processes the pain impulses that come from wherever in the body the pain is originating from. Music can actually help to block some of those pain impulses from entering into the brain. So that the result is the decreased sensation of pain. But music can also create distraction. And if you've ever had a headache or a muscle ache, the more focused you are on your pain, the more intense it becomes. So music's ability to distract can really ease pain by refocusing attention. Even if it's briefly, it can help decrease that sensation of pain. And furthermore, pain can actually help improve your coping ability. So it may not actually decrease the pain itself, but it might increase your tolerance for the pain. So even at the same level of pain, you're better able to cope with it or tolerate that level of pain than you would have previously.
We're talking with music therapist Brenna Beecroft about the healing power of music, and we want to hear from you. Have you experienced music therapy as a patient or a provider? Maybe you've watched a parent or grandparent come alive when hearing an old song, as Terry Bell told us about a little while ago. What was that like? Are you interested? Do you have questions about music therapy that our guests can answer for you? Here's how to reach us. You can call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can send an email. The address is talk@WPR.org.
We'll pick up that conversation with Brenna and take your calls right after the news. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about music therapy and the healing power of music. And we'd love to hear from you. Have you experienced music therapy? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Our guest is Brenna Beecroft. She is a music therapist, and she is with the Wisconsin Chapter for Music Therapy.
And let's go to the phones right now. We have Pat joining us in Sauk City. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
Hi. What do you think?
Well, I was, I'm actually a nurse practitioner, and I spend most of my time in nursing homes. And so I had a patient once who was, had pretty severe dementia and was actually end of life. And the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra came to play at the nursing home. And she was up in a wheelchair, and she actually managed to propel herself in between two of the players and sat there and tapped her foot. And this woman, it was just so amazing because she was, you know, as I said, pretty much end of life and very demented. So that was just, it was very touching.
Yeah, that's a remarkable story. And there are others like that, people who respond to music when they won't really respond to anything else. Brenna, how do you account for what's going on in stories like Pat's?
Music has the ability to motivate people. It makes them move. How often do you hear a catchy song on the radio or a march on the 4th of July, and you don't notice it at first, but you start tapping your feet? Music has that response, a physical response as well. So it was probably able to, the music was able to give her that boost of energy to wheel herself forward in her wheelchair when maybe without the music she wouldn't have been able to. She probably loved the music they were playing, and that was the motivation to get closer to the music, to touch it, so to speak.
Thanks for the call, Pat. We'll go now to David in Wausau. David, hi.
Hey, great program. I've been a believer in this for a while, and I have an anecdotal story about my mother, who passed a couple of years ago from vascular dementia that afflicted her the last 4 to 6 years of her life. I was wheeling her down the aisle at the facility she was at the time, and I had already been plugging her into my iPod for a while, so this was in the summer of 2010. And I had everything on there from Rosemary Clooney to Bob Marley. It was my iPod, and it just seemed to calm her down. And a funny thing happened one day. You know, she generally would tap her feet and her hands to the music. And I'm wheeling her down the aisle, and all of a sudden she blurts out, "Stand up for your rights," which was, you know, a Bob Marley lyric to a popular Bob Marley tune. And so I just want to say, yes, I want to affirm the therapeutic value, and great program, and keep up the good work, everybody who's working on dementia.
Thank you so much for the call, David. Well, we've heard a lot about the use of music. I know that's not the only use of music therapy, but in dementia. I mean, is that kind of a frontier of music therapy, Brenna?
It's a very popular area for music therapists to work in, although they don't necessarily do just music therapy. They may work in an activities department or a life enrichment department, which means that they're highly underutilized because music therapists can be used to help manage difficult dementia behaviors such as agitation that happens in the afternoon, which we refer to as sundowning. It can help with depression. Our elderly in facilities often experience great losses and with those losses, surely, you know, they experience feelings of depression and sadness over that. Music can help regain some control in their lives by making choices again, by being in control of a piece of music, a song, playing, singing. So music therapists can be very beneficial in the life of our elders by giving them that control, by making them physically comfortable with pain management, by helping with agitation and stress and anxiety. It's a total body health and wellness sort of intervention.
If people don't have the resources to work with an actual music therapist who's been trained to do this, are there simple things that they can do themselves with their loved ones or even working with themselves to make themselves feel better or their loved one feel better?
Absolutely, absolutely. Music can be included in just about every aspect of life, from exercising, getting the motivation to exercise on a regular basis, to just interacting with someone else. I know with individuals who are caring for someone with dementia, sometimes it's hard for them to connect with them outside of this new role as a caregiver. Husbands and wives don't feel like they're husbands and wives anymore. Mothers and daughters, you know, fathers and sons. It's hard to connect when the person with dementia can't tell you what they think, what they feel. They can't make choices. But music can be that one little spark that connects people, that moment where you hold someone's hand and you don't need to say anything because the memory of dancing around the Christmas tree, for example, when you were growing up, or singing a silly song together at bedtime, or any number of memories that can be brought back with music, and you don't have to say a thing, and that can really create a connection between two people.
We have an email from Elizabeth. She writes, I'm a high school junior, and I'm very interested in music therapy. I've shadowed a few music therapists in the area, have started touring colleges that offer music therapy degrees. I can't imagine being anything other than a music therapist. She goes on, I play clarinet and piano, taking advanced placement psychology, trying to learn as much as I can about music therapy, want to make sure I'm prepared. She says, do you have any advice? Sounds like she's got a great start there.
Absolutely. She knows what she wants. Keep with it. It's a passion that is a calling. You know if it's the right field for you, and there are going to be hard days, but the music makes it all worth it. The music is your reward as well, and you get to see immediate feedback from the work that you do as a music therapist, and that's one of the reasons why music therapists are often in the field so long. They retire in the field because there is a whole system of rewards that goes with it, beyond the enjoyment of being a musician.
All right. Well, good luck to Elizabeth. And let's go next to Katie in Ashland. Hi, Katie.
Hi. I was just calling to kind of reiterate that conversation about, like, connections. My older sister has Down syndrome, and a lot of the social-emotional things that she really wants to express and maybe can't or has a hard time expressing, she firstly will use music, and then she turns to it, too, and she's feeling really, when she's having a really hard time, she'll turn to it firstly to help her kind of get through what she needs to get through. She'll send me text messages, music messages, where she's recorded whatever little blurb of some Dolly Parton song or Britney Spears song or whatever she's listening to that says the words that she can't quite say to me at that moment. And it's very meaningful, and it's a wonderful connection for her and I to say, hey, you know, remember that song and how it makes us feel. And it's a real special bond.
Oh, that's a cool story. Thank you, Katie. And that's another aspect of this, music expressing things. You know, like you said, we can't always express ourselves. Music can do it for us.
And there's a song for everything.
Definitely. So looking ahead, what does the future hold for music therapy? Anything interesting or exciting that you see in research or on the horizon or how people are applying this?
On the research front, it is growing by leaps and bounds, and music therapists aren't the only ones doing the research now. So you have people like music psychologists, you have neurologists doing research, and working together, we have different technologies that we can utilize to show the effects of music, but still use the skills and the background of a music therapist to make sure that the music is the most effective music for whatever response that they're looking for. hopefully in the future, we're getting close, we're not quite there, but hopefully in the future, music will be a reimbursable item. Your insurance company will reimburse for music therapy. Medicare, Medicaid will reimburse for music therapy. It is happening, but it's a little bit inconsistent now, so I'm really looking forward to the day when you go into the doctor and he writes a referral for music therapy.
Interesting. Well, we'll be watching for those changes. Brenna, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We've been talking to Brenna Beecroft. She's a music therapist and the public relations chair for the Wisconsin chapter of music therapy.